You're like us just wringing content out of nothing right now.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Well, my buddy Woody's calling. Should I put him on the pod?
Yeah, let's throw him on. Hopefully it's not dire.
Hey, what's up, bud?
What's going on, boss?
I'm currently recording a podcast. You're on with the boys and Kaylee.
Oh, sweet. Well, I just wanted to say, didn't I tell you this?
Maybe.
I mean,
I'm not watching it.
The first half would not have gone the way I expected. All right, I'll let you get back to
it. Hop on draft.
This is great content.
All right, welcome back to the Brews and Bruins podcast. My name is Cam Hasbrook, joined as per usual by Chris Astronaut Gear and the one and only Doob Schmoob Drew Johnson. We've got an old friend back on the pod. It's been a little bit of a while here. Kaylee Allard coming on to talk about a little bit of bees, a little bit of beer. It's going to be some good stuff. Who wants to start us out? You know, this is the Brews and Bruins podcast. We're going to talk about a little bit of Bruins. Even though it's the off season, we're going to talk about a lot of bit of beer. So I got kind of a little Chicago in the end there.
Yeah,
it was like a weird hire. It started out with Boston, and I somehow... It's because I was in Chicago a few weeks ago. My brother kept doing the Chicago Polish accent, so I kind of accidentally transitioned there. But we got some fucking wicked beers or whatever, so who wants to start us off there? I think – oh, sorry. I introduced Chris as the astronaut, but really he is not one of the civilian SpaceX people this week. He is Gardner Minshew this week. And the full-on, he's got the Jaguars. He's got the – oh, Jaguars tee, I should say. He's got the headband. So maybe, Chris, we'll send it over to you to start. What are you drinking today, my man?
All right, I have a Mother Earth Brewing Cali Creamin' Creamsicle. I feel like their best known beer is their traditional Cali Creamin', which is just a like vanilla cream ale. This one has a little bit of orange flavor to it.
That sounds so good.
I will say it's pretty delicious. It's not overly sugary or like super in your face about it, which is nice. So we'll go, it's going to be lower tasteability than it would be if it was like bashing you over the head with it, but I think that's a good thing. So let's go with like an 18, and then drinkability, pretty crushable. It's a 5%. I would say like zero bitterness whatsoever. Just very smooth. I'm going to give it the full 37.
I think we need to change our scales so we do, instead of drinkability, crushability. Or just its own separate thing.
Yeah, we do extend it way too much and do tasteability, drinkability, and crushability. Yeah, let's get Lancey on that.
Yeah. He'll make a Venn diagram, too. We can probably find some correlation between the numbers.
You want to go next? What you got, Drew?
Sure, Cam. I have a Corona Extra.
Drew's always being extra.
First time drink for Drew, yeah.
Yeah, this is actually really good. It's a little different. I don't know. Let's go like 32, 25. You can choose which category is which. I don't fucking care.
There you go. I'm like watching on Drew's screen because mine's lagging so much that I can like barely tell what's going on. But here we go. I'm drinking a Zero Gravity Madonna IPA. Am I wrong, Chris? Have you had Zero Gravity on here before? They're out of Vermont.
I don't think so.
Really?
I've had the specific beer, but I've definitely had something from them, just not on the pod.
Okay. I don't know why I was thinking of craft. I like could picture Chris saying it in my head when I picked it up, and I was like, "Oh, it's probably good."
Is it because Zero Gravity? I bought this because what happens in space?
Maybe that's what it was. Yeah, I was just too. Although, yeah, I don't know if we can give you your honorary space title this week because there are other civilians going to space. So, although they're back now, I believe, yeah? The SpaceX people, I guess by the time...
I have no fucking clue what's going on with SpaceX.
I'm pretty sure they're back, but anyway, I bought this beer because of the can. Kind of a 70s, 80s look to it, like a mustard yellow with some cool red, light blue, and dark blue Navy mountains. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, this is...
It's a combo of, like, the Astros throwbacks and the
Colorado Rockies.
Well, I was thinking Miami Marlins.
It looks like the Red Sox yellow jersey. The Red Sox yellow and blue one.
Yeah, a little darker, more of a mustard, but yeah, same. It's the blue is very similar. I was thinking for reference, by the way, the NHL, former NHL Colorado Rockies with the red and dark blue and the yellow. But anyway, yeah, this is an 8% double IPA. I believe it's made with Pilsner malt, American wheat, it says, balanced, bright, and highly satisfying. So we're going to put that to the test here. Usually Vermont beers are pretty good, so give it a go. There's a little bit of maltiness to it. It's kind of sweet, not as bitter or as punchy as you'd expect for a double IPA, which I also love. They put literally two I's, so it's quite literally a double IPA, which
Why do we do this every time? Every time one of you guys has a double IPA, it's like you're surprised. Double IPAs are always like sweeter, generally less hoppy.
Is that a thing? I didn't realize that. Is that
always a thing?
I just need to note that I had it on mute because Cam was talking, and then Cam just paused, and I was like, "What's going on?" I didn't realize Chris was talking.
There you go.
Cam just like froze. I was like, "What are you okay?"
Well, definitely a sweeter kick to it. A little hoppy, but like a nice in between amount. Not as much as you'd expect for something that's 8%, but. Yeah, overall, a pretty deep flavor. I'm going to give drinkability. Like a 23, I think, is about the right range for a beer like this. Taste, you can definitely taste it, but like I said, it's not hitting you too hard. It's a very enjoyable flavor, but it's not overly aggressive. So I'll give it like a 25. But definitely would recommend checking that out. It does kind of have like the blondish vibes to it, so I guess appropriately named Madonna, but... it does kind of taste like a blonde take on a double IPA, which I like. So, yeah, if you're in Vermont anytime, or I'm not sure how far zero gravity reaches, but I would recommend giving it a try for sure.
And thus wraps up our longest fucking beer review ever. Kaylee, what are you drinking?
You guys are not going to believe what I'm drinking, okay? It's a big reveal. So after I left my workout today, I was like, oh, I have to get drinks because I'm going on the podcast tonight. Hell yeah. So I forgot to pick something up, and I found this in the back of my fridge, and I don't know where it came from.
Oh my God. Throwback to college. She's got the one and only natural light. Wow.
This thing is so old. I don't know how it got there. I don't know who it's from, but I'm drinking Natty Light, and it's
the
not
only
pleasant.
Thing better than new Natty Light is old Natty Light. So that's great.
It's probably expired. I don't even want to know when or where it's from, but I don't think I have to rate this, but it's better than showing up empty-handed. So cheers, I guess.
Amen to that. Yeah.
I think at its best, Natty Light is already expired. So.
Yeah, it already tastes expired, so it doesn't matter.
I think it ages like a toilet wine.
Who is the producer of Natty Light? Is it owned by a larger company, or is it?
It definitely
is. Like, is it one of those beers that it's just like, oh, it was the Miller Lite that like didn't come out as it was supposed to be, so we just threw it in a natty can? Like, I don't know. You know how some brands are like that?
Well, I know how like Marlboro does that with cigarettes. Oh, like, yeah,
it's
like
Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah, it is. It says that on the side.
Okay.
So yeah. It's just like, hey, this was Busch Light except worse. And I mean, that's saying something, but
it's just more natural. Yeah.
It's the sour batch
of Busch,
Beast Light.
It's natural and it's light.
Well, Kaylee, we respect you for hydrating. It's very important to drink water throughout the day. So I'm happy that you've gotten some on the podcast and just try to represent all aspects of beer drinking today.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's great.
Stay hydrated. Yep.
I think two very good guest beers in a row with the Logan coming with the Molson Ice.
Yeah. Well, Kaylee, it's been a while since we've had you on, so I don't know if you, maybe before we get into some hockey stuff, you can fill in the audience on anything that you've been up to lately, if you got anything going on. If not, we can just kind of rip through to some hockey stuff. But you're an OG friend of the pod, and it's been a while, so...
Yeah. So other than watching baseball and suffering every day of my life, I'm so ready for hockey to be back. I figured that would come up. So I thought I would rip the Band-Aid off.
Just get it out of the way quick. That was, I actually would mention to Drew before. I was like, yeah, we'll just tell her it's a hockey podcast and I'll just shit on the Yankees.
You just roast me the whole time. So I'm sick of baseball. I'm also sick of football for obvious reasons.
Already.
Yeah, an 0-2 team will do that to you. I gave up real quick, so especially after Thursday's game against the Washington football team. I don't know if you guys watched that.
Oh, but... I saw it, yeah. Well, I will say I had money on Washington, though, so
I was too upset about it. I picked Washington as well in one of my polls. Yeah.
Well, I'm
it was not personal, it was just, it was just smart. So
I did ruin, so my best friend is a Giants fan, and I did ruin for him the result of that game. And I don't know if you saw the replay, like the slowed down, like he definitely was not offside when.
Yes. No. There was the one video though that just had awful frame rate. I watched some with better frame rates where he clearly jumped first. Whether he was actually offside remains to be seen. But there was the one going around on Twitter that was like, oh, he didn't jump first, but it was just like, well, they just skipped like five frames in there. So it's like,
Wait, really? He was offside?
I don't know if I saw the
one. I can forward it to you. I saw another one that was like, it clearly showed him going first.
Was it from the reverse angle though?
It was the same angle where it was behind him though. So again, okay. Whether he actually broke the plane is one thing, but he definitely jumped first. You would assume he probably did because he's moving forward and assuming he's lined up on the line of scrimmage.
That's fair.
I'll pass it along to the people because I have a friend who's a Giants fan who was very salty about it. And I was like, wait, hold on. I just want to clear it up. Like, I'm pretty sure it was the correct call. But
I remember the Patriots got jobbed on one of those calls against the Jets like 4 or 5 years back. And that was not a fun time. So,
yeah.
That's the thing about football. Like, not that NHL officiating is any better, but it's all those little stoppages and calls and flags, and now you have the taunting, and I'm like, I need hockey back so bad.
So the taunting to me is like the delay of game penalty in hockey, where it's like,
yes,
just such a harsh punishment for something that doesn't deserve that punishment, and then they're emphasizing it this year.
It's also so much more arbitrary. Like the delay game penalty in hockey sucks, but at least it's like, hey, clearly shot it out of bounds. It's a dumb rule, but there's no like gray area there. I feel like taunting is so arbitrary. It's like one thing is, but then like the ref's not looking at a guy. You know what I mean?
Feels so old white guy. Like,
oh yeah,
we gotta stop these kids from having any personality. Like, they're trying to turn the NFL into the NHL.
Yeah, it's like an MLB. Yeah, it's like an MLB where like someone will hit a homer and they do the bat flip and they're like, that's disrespectful to the game of baseball. I'm like, what? Like, dude,
yeah,
like,
damn,
what are
kids
you
having fun?
Like,
you're not supposed to have fun playing baseball.
I feel like as long as you're not just like flipping off the pitcher after you hit a homer, like
which, by the way,
I think that's fun
before.
Too.
Yeah. Andy Parent style.
Like, I mean, it's the pitcher's fault for grooving a 93-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle.
Exactly. It's like, really, you don't want to get shown up, then don't let him hit a fucking home run off you. You know what I mean? You're going to be nailing your chest and you're walking off the mound and you're striking out the side. Like, yeah, if I hit a 98-mile-an-hour fastball 430 feet, I'd be fucking losing it too. So, yeah, like, nothing against that.
I think basketball is like the perfect example. Like, every time somebody hits a three-pointer, like, they're pimping it out and it's fun. Like, and no one complains about that shit.
Again, like, this is like
basketball fans aren't saying like, we need to get this out of the game.
This isn't like fucking like rec league shit. You know what I mean? Like, this is, it's a show. It's entertainment. That's what pro sports are. It's meant to be entertaining. And if that increases the entertainment value, then I'm absolutely for it. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
and
there are so many
always
worse things that are happening in sports that are, you should crack down on, that are not this. Like,
exactly. Thank you. And I was thinking of one time when OBJ was on the Giants. This was like 4 years ago or so. He pretended to be a dog peeing in the end zone. Well, like, that was hilarious.
Yeah, like, how is that hurting the sport at all? You know what I mean?
It was hilarious. There's so many memes about it. It was all over social media, brought so much attention to the game. And again, it's not like it's, you know, he's like going like this to someone or, you know, flipping the finger, but it's like, it's just funny.
Let the record
stuff
show, like, to the listeners that Kaylee did the like wanking motion. So for one of the things, like Randy Moss, when he did the like fake mooning the crowd when he scored a touchdown, and Joe Buck was like, it's disgusting, like, I can't believe you just did that, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
There's a driver. By Castellanos, and I'll make a borrow ball game.
Imagine if, like, I can't believe we're being like, wow, hockey's really got it right. But, like, imagine if, like, hockey celebrations were punished like that, and, like, the only thing you could do is, like, the Patrice Bergeron, like, maybe nod and be like,
no, yeah, no, that's the David Krejci, just like the
Krejci's
like straight face, like.
The like, Red Wings thing where the like maybe 3-4 years ago where they just took their gloves off and shook hands after a goal.
Yeah. That was so funny. That's great. I know.
Or like the throwing up the glove and the shooting it with the stick and
the Craig
Smith Superman. That's one of my favorites ever. The Smitty Superman. Oh, legendary. Yeah.
I hope we see that many times this year. But also I kind of hope he doesn't score a lot of goals so I don't have to do more Photoshops.
Are we going to continue that this season?
I forgot about that.
Very niche memes that like nobody liked. There's like 7 likes on the best one.
I always liked them. Oh, yeah. I will always give you a like.
Much appreciated.
I'm really excited to get back into the meme game now that the you know the season's going to be ramping up. Like
Drew's
now we can make
meme
some more
of the week.
Memes.
I will say I'm building a PC right now. I'm starting to acquire the parts and stuff, and I'm looking to try to get back into some multimedia editing and specifically maybe some meme design, not graphic design, but just purely meme design. So I can partake a little bit more in that this season.
Dude, cringe memes.
It is really helpful that the three of us are all like mediocre. But good enough to like be able to make memes and shit.
Be able to do it, but not well.
cringe memes are the best. Yeah. They're so easy to make, and they're just like it's important in a cringe meme to have some like crudely photoshopped photo, like the one I did of Colin.
I mean that was
Char's face.
We've all taken like one graphic design class. I think that's the like,
What are you guys gonna do now that Krejci's gone and you can't say upon this rock? Like I don't know.
We still upon this rock every time he scores in the extra league.
Yeah, that's the thing is that I think you actually are right. We've been talking about this for a while, but I'm pretty sure he's gonna come back when he becomes the all time leading scorer in the extra league next week. He's going to come back in time for the start of the season.
Did we all see this goal he scored?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
A couple days ago?
Sunday, I think it was.
Sick shit. Just
I did not.
So he moved this puck out of his own defensive zone on his own, like kind of circled into the offensive zone coming from the left wing and like cycling across the middle and lifted the puck up over the defender's stick. And then just kind of dragged a little bit and sniped one like offside.
Disrespectful.
It was absolutely insane.
There was a goal a couple games back and the whole crowd was chanting David Krejci. I was like, oh my God, they love him there.
That's why, I mean, I'm not mad that he went back. Like,
no, every time I watch one of those goals, every time I watch it, I'm like, yeah, like I totally get, you know what I mean? Like, again, like this is where this is where this guy grew up when he was a kid, and like he started playing hockey there, he came over, he made his run in the NHL, and like how can you not be happy for him to see him go home and just absolutely fucking tear it up while he still has something in the tank, you know what I mean? Like every time I watch it, I'm like, damn, it'd be nice to see him do it in black and gold, but like I'm so happy for, you know, he gave too much to the Bruins organization already, so like
with nothing in return, no winger for like a decade, so he should be able to do whatever he wants.
Yeah, he got half a season of a winger and was like,
I was like, this ain't for me.
That was nice.
He's like, damn, yeah, it's nice to be able to score a bunch. I'm going to go do that in the check now. I forgot that was cool.
And Taylor Hall's just like, all right.
Yeah, he's going to – I saw somebody tweeting about how Taylor Hall is going to figure out what it's like to be David Krejci this year, and I think he's probably
– I heard Taylor Hall just got his green card so he can go over there and play with Krejci.
So I think Lauren Campbell wrote an article about how Taylor Hall is just going to, like, figure it out now. Someone asked him, like, hey, were you – like, did you sign with the intention of playing with Krejci? He was like, I don't know. Like, I didn't know what was going to happen, but like, I'm totally fine with him not being here and moving forward. Like, talking about how Smitty and him are going to be like a great tandem. So I'm fine with.
Who do we think is going to be second line center?
Oh, it's going to be Coyle.
Charlie Coyle.
Yeah.
It should be is another question, but that'll answer itself hopefully in a few weeks, but. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I I am cautiously optimistic. I mean, I know there were some injury concerns last year and stuff, and I don't see how he could have much worse of a season than last year, which really isn't the bar you want to set. But, like, I do expect, you know, maybe not to the level of production that we were necessarily hoping from the year before, but I do think he'll be somewhat more effective, especially playing with a guy like Taylor Hall, who it will be interesting because the whole narrative was like, oh, Hall's not expected to be the guy, and he's not. You know, the Bruins still have that first line, of course, but he's going to have to be the guy a little bit more on that second line now with Krejci gone. So not necessarily the one scoring all the time, but at least facilitating a lot. So I do see how that line combo could work personally, but, you know, it might take a little while to get there too. So
what do you think, Brad Marchand? Yeah.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Kelly?
Yeah, I'm rooting for him. I mean, it's kind of like the same thing with DeBrusque. Like, he's, you know, he's so streaky, like he has a lot of heart and stuff, and he's had so many chances, and you want the guy to succeed, but it just hasn't really happened yet, and he hasn't had that big break where, you know, he's consistent and you can rely on him. So I hope it works out. You don't want to wish failure upon any of your players or your team. So I think, like you said, he's going to have to step up, but also it'll be a lot easier playing alongside Smitty and Hall. Because, you know, they're playmakers, and that second line, you know, they finally got their secondary scoring. So if Coyle can just not mess that up, then I think good things will happen. So, I mean, I don't know. I was hoping we would see Stadnica in there, but I think it's obvious that the job will go to Coyle because, you know, he's been there longer, and, you know, you have to give him his time to shine. So I definitely think it'll be Coyle, but I'm just nervous. I hope that playing alongside those two guys will help him out a little bit. So, like you said, I guess we'll find out pretty soon.
Yeah, I think one of the other things was he had pretty instant chemistry with Craig Smith when they were on the same line early in the season last year. And so that kind of alleviates some of my worries. And that was probably some of the best that Coyle played all year. Mm-hmm. I don't know when the injury came about, but it may have coincided with that. And, yeah, I don't know. I mentioned this on another episode, and I don't have any illusions that everybody listens to every episode of this podcast, especially in the off season. So I'll repeat a little bit.
Especially us.
Yeah, I listened to one episode of this podcast. but I think that second line has kind of like light version of first line vibes, where like Taylor Hall can kind of be the Brad Marchand, where he controls the puck a lot and distributes from the wing. But also contributes scoring wise. And then Craig Smith's the trigger man. Like, obviously he's not a David Pastrnak level scorer or volume shooter, but he does do those things. And then Charlie Coyle, when he was healthy, was a defense first, kind of like puck protector, center. So, very, very, very light version of Patrice Bergeron.
Someone you can push the puck up
without the offensive acumen. But I think if you're building a blueprint for a second line, it's not a bad way to go.
Yeah, I think there's like a lot of pieces there that, like, you know, Coyle has that physical side, and I think that's where most of his strength is. Not that he's like a grinder or anything, but that adds a huge plus to his offensive and defensive game. I mean, I forget when it was. I think it was at one point last season, though, where he just skated the puck around the entire zone by just, like, having the muscle to fend guys off. And I think that's going to be the main attribute he brings. And then Taylor Hall, I mean, the offensive skill is obviously there, but he's also a bigger body there. You know, I think he has a lot of offensive skill, but it's not like a Pastrnak where, you know, he's kind of a lighter guy and has the shot and everything. So he has that capability. And then, yeah, Smith is kind of the wild card where he's just skating around, shooting from fucking center ice. Like, he just shoots from fucking anywhere. So I think that's really good. Like, you just have all of these different kind of skill sets, and if they can find a way to mesh them together, I think they could be a really, really good second line. But with that said, with all those different skill sets, who knows how well it's all going to mesh together. So it could be not necessarily a disaster, but it could not be working out and you're shuffling guys into the lineup. Probably because Smith and Hall have that kind of chemistry already, it would be Coyle being put down in the lineup, and maybe they have like Foligno or something
being put down in the second line.
Put him down.
Hopefully not. That'd be a tough season. Kelly, I got a question for you. We haven't spoken to you much since it was clear that Rask would not be returning this season. And, of course, Kelly is on Twitter, the number two Ko Rask. You maybe could go to our friend Colin, who also had his Twitter namesake ripped away from the Bruins last season when Chara went over to Washington. And we'll get to more of that in a second. But how are you feeling as your first Twitter season as Tuukka Rask on Twitter without Tuukka between the pipes, at least the start? How are you feeling about that situation?
I actually feel very confident in Swayman and Allmark. I feel like that was a huge pickup by Donnie during the free agent frenzy. I mean, he put up some good numbers playing in Buffalo, and we all know if you put up numbers in Buffalo as a goaltender, you are doing something right. So I'm really excited to see how he could play behind a solid Bruins team. And Swayman has already proved himself. I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I don't think that Tuukka should lose the starting position to him, of course, but Swayman does not make me nervous at all. Allmark does not make me nervous. I mean, his Twitter name is like Ice Bear Dude or something. I'm like, this guy's gonna fit perfectly. Like,
he does seem like he's loving the Boston vibe so far, yeah.
Yes, yes. He already seems like he meshes, but yeah, I mean, I feel very confident, and I mean, they signed him, what was it, 5 years? I think. Yeah,
it sounds about right. I forget, to be honest with you.
I believe it's 5 years. So
it's either four or five, like, for $5 million. So
yeah, it seems like he might be here for a while. So we might be looking at our next duo. Obviously, Tuukka's future is up in the air, but he also said that he would stay in Boston for $250K in a Bud Light, which I love him for after all the slander he's been through.
It's 4 years, $5 million.
Oh, okay. 4 years, $5 million.
Yeah, yeah. I was about to say.
Good value. I think hopefully it should be.
Yeah, and he's a young guy too, so I'm really excited about it. Two young goalies, two guys I'm confident in, so I'm not worried. I obviously want Tuukka back, but I think he's going to be back just at the right time. So,
yeah, I will say with an aging core, and obviously the 2011 core is fading really fast at this point. Having a lot of pretty much gone. Having a lot of questions about the youth. Having two at least pretty promising young/youngish goalies that the Bruins could see being a part of their future plans is very big, regardless of how this next season goes and stuff. When you're looking ahead at the next few years, that's a really big piece that a lot of teams don't have when they're trying to, I don't want to say the Bruins are going to rebuild after something like this season. Who knows? We'll see how it goes, but there's going to be some retooling going on at the very least. And having two goalies that, you know, again, we'll see how they do this year, but right now it looks like there's some reason to be hopeful. Knock on wood, is a big piece that a lot of teams don't have. So advantage Bruins, I guess, in that department to some extent.
For sure. I agree.
We're going to talk to Zdeno Chara in a minute, but I think Drew has something very important he would like to say about DraftKings. That is definitely just
whatever's going on in the
once my girlfriend and her friend stop freaking out over Mario Kart.
It is Mario Kart, so there's reason to be excited.
Understandable.
And probably a few margaritas deep, which we can all support here. So Drew, how do you personally feel about DraftKings?
Week 2 of football is in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and get ready for week 3 with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off another action-packed week where you can feel
the sweat.
Like never before.
Cam jumped the gun on that.
I wasn't sure. Yeah, was DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly when they bet $1 on any football game. Listen up, because you do not want to miss this. Head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 on any Week 3 game to receive $150 in free bets instantly. If Sportsbook is not yet available in your state, DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.
Must be 21 years or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Why does Indiana do that shit? Like, yeah. I feel like it would be easier if they just had...
if you sent him in the wrong phone number.
That's a strange, yeah, I know, like, hey, also, if you're a gambler, then call
Drew,
this
you read the wrong copy, like, this is the Basketball Podcast Network.
Yes, as you can see from the Hardwood yeah. Heroes background, and the logo that no one can see in that corner by Drew.
Let the record show that I also dropped an F-bomb in the middle of that ad read, so you gotta edit that out too, Cam.
Yeah, great stuff. Thanks, Drew.
Maybe I'll just re-edit it in afterward, but yeah.
I was hanging out with friends of the pod, Corey and Richie from the podcast Sporty with Corey and Richie, the Hockey Podcast Network podcast, presented by DraftKings. And
Bruins Diehards.
The Bruins Diehards has also decided to sponsor Sporty with Corey and Richie. And they were, since they're in Arizona, I think they're allowed to do the sports betting thing. And they were freaking out about over-unders and like really just blowout games, and it was very fun to watch.
It always makes it more fun. I saw Richie was in Vegas, I think, this weekend watching football too, which looks,
yeah, he was at awesome. Life is Beautiful Festival, apparently just making Mikey jealous because he got to go see Green Day.
Oh, nice. Hell yeah. Green Day, if you ever get the chance to see him live, would definitely recommend. They are still very, very good live. They were in 2017 when I saw him, at least. So
Richie showed me his tank that he was wearing to the festival, and it's like a dark gray tank with the word "turnt" in like a bunch of neon colors, with like the shadow of it kind of cascading upwards.
That's awesome.
Definitely a tank that I would recommend for people going to festivals.
I gotta have a word with Kat, actually, because maybe you heard about Richie was talking about how he's interested in getting into the Premier League, and you did hear about this because we were talking.
Yeah, I was the one who, on the Liverpool bandwagon. I added you. I was the one who said, help me out here.
Well, I was going to purchase him a definitely official and not knockoff Liverpool jersey that was customized with his name to force him into a Liverpool fandom. And I texted Kat and I was like, hey, can you give me your address so I can just send this to him? And you so it'll just show up in the... Well, I thought she would be cool about it. And she was like, it's funny that you're going to give that shit to you. And I was like, whoa, what the fuck? It was on the slightly nicer terms, I will say.
I have the address. So you could have just asked me.
I should have, really, but I was hoping that maybe she would lay off the Chelsea push for a little bit while it was probably wishful thinking there. And I did say to her, I was like, well, this is going to happen either way. So you can either make it easy or, you know, we can do it the hard way. So it looks like she's taking the hard route. So
she does have to talk about this. The upper hand, though, like having a daughter who is a Chelsea fan.
Well, you know what? Having the same fandom throughout the household is not necessarily the most fun. You know, you want to have a little bit of rivalry in there. Yeah. And I think that would make it fun for something like the Premier League. So we'll follow up on that in the near future, because we're going to get you on the way.
Drew is clearly bored with this.
He's popping into my screen. There you go.
I didn't follow much of that because I'm hearing it twice. Which you think would make me hear it more, but
Kaylee, do you have a Premier League affiliation?
I don't know. Richie was in Vegas at one point. That's all they got.
Do you have a Premier League team that you root for?
No, not at all. I know nothing.
That's totally
switching it over to.
Is Swansea in the Premier League or are they Champions League now?
That would be the Championship.
Championship League. What the fuck? Are they there now? Because I watched
Champions League is reserved for the top four in the Premier League,
which is definitely not Swansea.
But at one point, I watched like an ESPN like 30 for 30 about them and how like at one point they got promoted and it was like the first time or something, or they just avoided relegation, which are two very different things. But
anyway.
Yeah, it's the opposite.
I like them after that. And I like their logo too. It's like a swan.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Which is kind of like similar to like the Buffalo Bills or the Buffalo Sabres, where their logos have been buffaloes, which is the city, not the name of the. Anyway,
I will give a quick shout out to myself. I just picked up the new Liverpool away kit. I'm not a huge fan of their home kit this year. It's like the classic Liverpool red, but they did like an orange trim, which I'm not a huge fan of. So yeah. The away kit is like a cream with like a forest green and kind of like a neon red pink trim to it. I'm a big fan. Repping, well, I'm not going to turn all the way, but it's Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Oh, sick.
True Scouser. Yeah, I figured a young guy and somebody who's already carved his name out in the Liverpool lore, but
I gotta get one. I have a Liverpool hat, but I don't have a kit yet. I've over the years considered it often, but I never know who to get. And
I got a Sadio Mane for my first one, and then Trent was my second one. So I'm happy with both of those. Well, my first one was actually a Felipe Coutinho jersey back in the day, but that was a tough decision because they ended up selling him to Barcelona like the next year. So
yeah, that sucks.
It was kind of a bummer, but that with my Todd Gurley Rams jersey purchase were both those both backfired pretty quickly. So it was a bummer, but
yeah, I feel like a Mo Salah jersey would be like the basic thing to do. But he is my favorite, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean it's cool. They've got enough big names that you can get a superstar and not be too mainstream with it, I guess. But anyway, this is a hockey podcast, so we'll turn it back to that. Zdeno Chara going back, I don't even want to say going back home because he's still a career Bruin for the most, I guess by definition not a career Bruin, but he'll be remembered as a Bruin unless he spends the next 15 years with the team that he started with.
Yeah, I think he would be remembered as an Islander if he played until he was 55.
Probably, yeah. So, Big Z going back to the Isles. I kind of want to get everybody's take on this. For me personally, I mean, kind of cool to see him go back to a team that he started out with. And I don't know. I mean, I think I saw Jeff Israel and tweeted, like, for some reason, this doesn't bother me as much as Washington. And I agree. Even though the Islanders knocked out the Bruins last year, I was like, I can't explain why, but it definitely hurts less than him being on the Capitals. So I'm kind of cool with it.
It's definitely less jarring. Like, we've already seen him in an Islanders uniform. And, yeah, I don't know. It felt weird just the way that the split happened. And
like, maybe because it was like the first new boyfriend since you broke up with it, you know what I mean? There's that kind of thing. Like, but now it's the second one and you move.
Caps were the rebound.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, also I just have more animosity toward the Caps now. Like, even losing to the Islanders in the playoffs, it's still kind of like, oh, it's just the Islanders.
And which is like weird because they're like, they're really up and coming as we spoke with.
We had a whole Islanders podcast. We probably don't need to relitigate too much.
But they're a cool team. I mean, you know what I mean? Even as somebody who, you know, obviously is a Bruins fan and was not thrilled when they lost to him last year, like, I don't know. I still am pro Islanders overall, I think, for the most part. So I don't know. Kelly, what did you think about that, seeing him go from Washington to the island?
Well, yeah, I'm glad he's not with Tom Wilson anymore, the scum of the earth, and like has to him and share a locker room with him and pretend that he likes him. So that's fine. And yeah, the Capitals definitely irk me more overall, and they always kind of have. Like you said, like, oh, it's the little Islanders. Like, they're like cute. It's like, oh, what a nice team. But this playoff set definitely changed. I was pretty pissed off. I did not like their fans. I did not like that they threw trash on the ice when their own
didn't make a lot of sense.
I just did not like anything about them last year. And yes, losing to them sucked. Like, I'm bitter, I'll admit it. And their fans cheering when our players get hurt and are down in the ice, like, the whole thing just irked me. But hopefully they'll be a little bit better this year. I'm just happy for Chara. Like, I'm happy for Krejci if that's what he wants to do and he wants to keep playing. And he's also going to be closer to Boston, being in New York rather than D.C. And I'm pretty sure his family is still in Boston. So he's a little bit closer to home. And I'm happy for him. And it's good to see him go back to his roots, which everything has come full circle. But I'm still selfish and I want him to sign a one-day contract with the Bruins and then retire. So
We'll see. I can see that happening still down the road as you know, him being the captain of the team for so long and stuff.
Dave like that Jack would still be a fitting thing.
Yeah. So hopefully that's in the cards whenever he does decide to hang him up, which who knows, maybe it'll be this year. I mean, we've been doing this for a few years now, so who knows when it'll actually be, but yeah. I'm running out of things. Anybody got more stuff? Oh, yes. The Bruins announcing today that they, well, I guess Monday as of recording, that they are 100% vaccinated. Definitely good to see from just a pure morality and well-being standpoint. But when you look at from a pure sporting standpoint, which obviously is not the most important thing, but as Kaylee being a Yankees fan, us being Red Sox fans, both teams that have been hit hard by the virus throughout the season and has had an impact on their performance from a sports standpoint as well, like that gives us a little bit of extra peace of mind. I mean, obviously, doesn't make you immune from getting it and stuff. And, you know, if you are learning about that from us, then please fucking stop listening and go educate yourself on the virus that's caused the pandemic for the last year and plus, 2 years almost now. But
hey, Cam, get your liberal media bullshit out of here.
Yeah.
Well, could that be the call of the news?
Yeah. Fake local news.
Can we just call it liberal BS? So, liberal media bullshit is the name of the episode.
Yeah. But hopefully that does help the Bruins avoid. I mean, who knows what the situation is going to be like throughout the winter and stuff, but or what kind of new fucking Buffalo Sabres variant will be out by then. But it's going to be a little bit more peace of mind, I think, for the fan base, knowing that their team is vaccinated and stuff. I think that's nice to see. So I would like to see the Bruins still push in, proof of vaccination to get into TD Garden. We haven't seen that yet, as far as I'm aware, at least at the time of recording. So I would like to see something like that. I know some other teams have done that already, just for the sake of the fan base. So we'll see what goes on there. But yeah, I don't know. Anybody have any hot takes on vaccinations? Or this is where we're at now.
I considered tweeting this out, but I figured the tone wouldn't be right. So hopefully this comes off better actually in spoken word. But when I heard that they were 100% vaccinated, I was like, oh, yeah, great. Like, no issue. Like, no issues with getting COVID and shit during the season, or hopefully at least. And then it hit me like, oh, no. Does this mean they have no real NHL hockey players? Because real NHL hockey players wouldn't get vaccinated.
The man's men.
Good thing you didn't tweet that.
Yeah, that would have been a tough one.
I think they would have caught on with the wrong part of Twitter. Yeah.
They always come out of nowhere. So those people.
Those people. You know who you are. I hope you're not listening to this podcast.
All right, we'll leave the vax talk behind for one more B's topic here. Zachary Senyshyn re-signing with the Bruins, a one-year deal. What kind of impact do you think he could potentially have? I mean, he's spent most of his career with Providence so far, of course, part of that famously great 2015 Bruins draft. How do you guys, do you see him really having any impact in the NHL this year? Do you think they'll start him again in Providence and try to pull him? I didn't even say, I'm assuming it's a two-way deal. No, 1 year two-way, so... $750,000, obviously not a big cap concern, but do you see him as somebody that might factor into their plans this year, or is it just kind of a little bit of extra insurance that they could pull him up if need be?
I think we, see him making a huge impact if, like, three guys go down and get injured. Like, he's not going to start. He's definitely going to start in Providence, so I don't know. Yeah, injury. He's insurance to me. I mean, I think he's still young. He has that. He still has some potential, but he was a first round pick, and I don't think he's going to meet those expectations that people have of first round picks. Maybe someday he can be a good like bottom six guy, maybe. But like in my opinion, right now, I think he's insurance, and down the line, maybe he has a role on some NHL team. I don't see him as a long time Bruin. I mean, I don't mean to hate on the guy. I really don't, but just with the depth that the Bruins have signed and everything this offseason, if it was last season's team, then yeah, I see Senyshyn slotting in on the third or fourth line, even maybe to start the season. But this year, I think he's insurance.
I second that. I don't really have any feelings because it's a two-way, which is fine. Like you said, insurance for injuries or, God forbid, a positive COVID test. Which I know they're vaccinated, but it can happen. It might happen. You never know. But yeah, just the insurance and the 2015 draft. I mean, that whole thing is just cursed. So, I mean, I wish the guy all the best, but I don't see a long-time future in Boston either. So as long as he's there for insurance and maybe he can help out every now and then, but other than that, I don't see any big, big moments or big starts coming up for him anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm pretty done with the guy. Like, I don't think he's going to contribute in any meaningful way. And I'm not, like, mad at him or anything. It's just, like,
I am.
Just doesn't really fit.
Yeah. And
I hear there's a new team called the Kraken, though, so.
No way.
Maybe.
Yo, we got to check them out. They got to go see them sometime.
Yeah. I mean, I think the one thing that would get Zach Senyshyn, like, on the Bruins long term would be like if everybody retired after this year and like went into full rebuild mode and like, all right, I guess we'll see what we have with this guy. But he hasn't even been particularly good in the AHL, so kind of tough to project him to be any better in the NHL.
That's not usually a transition that would go well, but yeah. Well, I guess wish him the best, you know, and see what happens. Anybody got anything else there? Gonna wrap this puppy up.
I had a hot take.
Let's hear it.
Hell yeah.
Bury the lead here, 50 minutes in.
This isn't a joke or like satire, but I think the Leafs are going to make it to the second round.
Ooh.
And that is a hot
take. Yeah, that's definitely a hot take.
No, I don't want them to. As long as we're the one to kick them out of the second round. But
hey, okay.
I think this is the year. And I know they say that every year, but there is no, this cannot go on for any longer. I hope it does, but something's got to give. So I'm not even saying they're going to go all the way. I'm just saying they're going to make the second round. So that's truly.
That's pretty much all the way for the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, for their fans. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's their cup.
It's a big one. A lot can happen over the next few months, but I wouldn't be terribly surprised. I mean, I think a lot of people were banking on it happening last year, and
yeah.
That was funny. So. You know, we'll see, yeah. But I wouldn't be shocked by any means. That's
yeah,
a fair take.
I'm hearing myself three times there. That was awful.
For
the past few seasons, it's been that kind of team on paper, and even you know entering the playoffs where you could be like, yeah, maybe they'll make it to the second or third round. Like they do on paper have the skill, and even during the regular season, you see them doing really well. It's something about the playoffs. It's something about not just the Bruins, definitely emphasis there, but just playoff time not coming up. And Chris Gear, famous phrase, hockey is weird, dash Chris Gear, dash Wayne Gretzky, dash Michael Scott.
Yeah, I mean, like Montreal could make the playoffs last year, so.
Make the final.
So, but I could see it. I've been able to see it every year. I just feel like I love that fucking curse. I love that curse.
This year, I'm saying it's going to happen. So remember this.
Okay.
All right, we'll pull it from the archive. Yeah. Either way, we're going to pull it back. It's just a matter of whether it was a smart pre-wisdom here or a horrifically bad take. We'll see. But either way, it'll be good content. So
why not both? Like
exactly. I do have one more question for Kaylee on the way out here. Kaylee, just to circle back, is Aaron Boone the manager of the New York Yankees next season?
God, I hope not.
Yeah, I like that we're turning Aaron fucking Boone around back to the Yankees. That's a good full circle there. That's good. He's going to be like, oh, that's what things Yankees fans say, right? And be like, yeah, definitely. That's how it started. It's just they hated him. Yeah, so.
Well, I call the Yankees the Maple Leafs of MLB because you have it on paper, you spend a lot of money, and then you choke. So we are literally the laughing stock, and everyone loves to hate on us. Same thing with the Leafs. I technically know what it's like to be a Leafs fan, where I know the championship drought hasn't been that long, but it's been over a decade since that team has brought home a World Series.
Oh, has it?
And, wow. You know, the Yankees have never actually been bad, but they never make it all the way. And that's all that matters. So I want to see a total revamp. I don't care what has to happen. We'll see how the rest of the season goes, but I know it's not going to go good. They actually were up 5-1, I think, and the Rangers are almost about to tie it. It's 5-4. right now. So they struggle. They can't hold a lead. And I just think Boone, he brings nothing to the team. He's like, yeah, we lost. We have to do better. We lost. We have to do better. It's like, no shit. So do something. Like these guys need a new system. The chemistry isn't there. The leadership isn't there. I just, even looking at his face, like I can't stand him. Like he's always like chewing his gum. Like,
hard saying.
Like, laughing at reporters. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, something needs to change. They're literally the Maple Leafs of MLB. So I'm done. I don't care. That's my take.
Those flip coaches. It's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
all right. Well, we'll see how that one goes. We're going to have to check out a lot of things back. Check Kaylee's takes for next spring.
So yeah. Everybody...
We need some fact checkers.
We have Lancey. So,
Lancey is our
fact. Remember when Twitter was doing that? Like, when Trump would tweet everything with a little like eye and it was like, fact checkers say this is false or something.
Yeah.
And everyone was making memes about it and like writing their own fact checkers say this is false.
That was, yeah, very good times. So just.
I
feel like I have a very distinct memory of you using that on like a Tuukka Rask thing.
Oh, it was definitely something.
It was like a Tuukka Rask is not elite. This is false.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Just false or misleading.
Misleading, yes. Yeah. False or misleading claims, I think it was. Yeah.
Leave it to the liberal media to.
The liberal social media.
CNN.
Classic big tech being too liberal, you know. all right, well,
Liberals in Lagunitas is a new podcast coming soon.
I realized that I don't know what episode this is, but this is the episode that you're listening to.
Season 3, episode 1. You didn't lead with it.
No, we can't do that now.
I think maybe next week. We'll circle back to it soon.
I really wanted to do that this week, but whatever.
We'll I feel like we need something more than like the prospect tournament to like kick that off, though.
Yeah, well,
maybe like the start of preseason games starts, or something. Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking. Yeah. So, all right. Well, Kaylee, thanks for taking the time to chat with us. I don't know if you got anything else you want to plug right now while you listen to have our massive audience here, but that's time.
I mean, just follow me on Twitter, #2KARASK for all the season memes. I'm sure we'll all be circulating memes and I can't wait for it. So that's my personality comes back when hockey comes back. So I'm excited for that. And then also like check my articles on FanSided. I'll still be doing that when more content is readily available. So you will see my articles as well.
Oh, yeah. You're like us just wringing content out of nothing right now.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Well, my buddy Woody's calling. Should I put him on the pod?
Yeah, let's throw on. Hopefully it's not dire.
Hey, what's up, bud?
Going on, boss?
I'm currently recording a podcast. You're on with the boys and Kaylee.
Oh, sweet. Well, I just wanted to say, didn't I tell you this Packers game is primed for an upset?
Maybe.
I mean,
I'm not watching it.
The first half would not have gone the way I expected.
All
right, I'll let you get back to
good
it.
Hop on DraftKings.
Great contest. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Love you, man.
Love you too, boss.
Love you, Woody.
All right.
That was almost as good as my interrogation of Mikey last week.
I was hoping he would say something about the Bruins because famously he was like really mad at me that I never let him on this podcast. And I was like, well, generally we don't just like let our friends on the podcast, but you have to cover the Bruins in some capacity. But he was going to be on the lake episode, but he wasn't there that day.
All right, well, yeah, this is season 2, episode 3. Kaylee is regretting her Natty Light, but I am not regretting this Madonna Double IPA. So, yeah, go pick up one of these and
tell them we sent you
content. Yeah, tell them the Bruins and Bruins boys. Maybe we'll get kicked out. We'll see. We'll see you on Friday. Well, you'll hear us on Friday if you listen.
Yeah, we'll see us.
We'll see you.
Because we'll never see you, actually, if you don't want us to.
Back in your car.